The 24th Problem by Janiah Riley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. Chapter 11. Deep in the Hum.
The Era of Her Benevolence. Empress Feferi Pyxes. Imperial Dig Site. Colony World 508.
Herania was spending more and more time at the dig site, more and more time in the cool embrace of the earth below, and less up in the blistering heat of the surface. She'd had Charon and their colonists bring down everything required to set up a base camp, and so she ate and slept down in the midst of the ruins, only emerging when she had samples that had to be packed up and shipped back. She didn't trust a colony full of half-competence to do any of the delicate work, so she saw to it personally. And then back to the ruins to continue her studies. For 2 weeks, this was the tempo of her work. Whatever this thing was, she was fairly certain that it functioned as some kind of computer. Maybe not in the traditional sense, the fact that it had been sitting dormant for thousands of sweeps with no apparent ill effects was proof enough of that, but it was something that could theoretically be powered on and studied. The very prospect of it was exciting. The idea of reviving ancient technology and getting a chance to probe the depths of something utterly alien to her. Alien races tended towards the primitive. Even those nominally intelligent ones that had been encountered in the outer systems. The idea of finding something from a truly advanced civilization made her heart flutter with anticipation. After a week of studying the thing, she prepared a hyperlight message back to the Imperial Ministry of Science.
To the Imperial Ministry of Science, I command. I have discovered something on Colony World 508. That seems that a highly advanced ancient civilization. However, I believe that the current environment is severely limiting my ability to run tests and determine the precise nature of this device. I believe that I can identify the power source for the object and disconnect it in such a way that it can be transported back before us for further study. And the more ideal conditions. It is my professional recommendation that this be done as soon as feasible, and with the full commitment of resources from this colony. Please advise. Major Aranya Circuit, Imperial Ministry of Science.
She sent her message and she went back to work. There was still so much she could do on site investigating the strange humming devices made of smooth black stone. And besides, it was comforting to be in there with them. It was a relief from the heat and the noise of the outside to be in this cold place, filled with the thrum of ancient power. The colonists found it unsettling, as did most of Arania's staff, but at least Lieutenant Scalby stayed down with her for the most part. She would have to recommend the woman for advancement when they got back. Her commitment to this project was invigorating. The work was methodical, but productive. One night she discovered the access conduits that ran under the floor, revealing the hidden bases of the ancient computers. One night she discovered the strange glowing green object that appeared to be providing the whole thing with power, despite emitting almost no heat and no detectable radiation. Every night that week was filled with productive discoveries. Time spent feverishly writing notes and running tests. She didn't want to sleep, didn't need to sleep. She hadn't felt like this since she was a fresh cadet in the academy, first realizing how big the world of knowledge really was. And then, in the beginning of the third week, a message arrived. Given the timing, it must have been sent shortly after her initial report back from the site.
Incoming Hyperlight Comm. Top secret eyes only. Attention. Major Aranya Circuit. Imperial Ministry of Science. This message is eyes only. Dissemination of the information contained herein is punishable by indefinite commitment to an Imperial Culling Center. Hear now the words prepared on behalf of Her Benevolence. Prepare all recovered materials for transport back to before us. Determine feasibility of transporting referenced device intact to Ministry of Science facility. All colony resources are at your disposal. These are the words spoken on behalf of Her Benevolence. Heed them well. Glory to Her Benevolence. May her kindness light our lives.
The news further galvanized Arania, and by the time she went to sleep, she had already determined a course of action. They would spend the entirety of the next evening and night preparing the device for transit back to before us. She had already requested that the colony provide her with several of the powered exosuits that they used for heavy mining and cargo lifting operations. Those would be suitable enough. She and Lieutenant Scalby would supervise operations, the ones who truly appreciated what was down here in this ancient place. That morning, Arania lay down to sleep earlier than expected. She would, after all, have a big night ahead of her in the evening. As soon as her head hit the pillow, she was asleep. Asleep, and no longer encased in the embrace of her sleeping sack. The hum of the eldritch computers seemed to be louder than normal. More soothing than normal. The world was dark. Not the simple dark of a switched-off light, or the starless expanse of an overcast night, but the purity that came from an utter absence of light. A void from which nothing could escape and nothing could be seen. A black hole world where time and space ceased to find meaning. And the one remaining truth was that of a singular, conscious thought. She was not alone. Here, the abominable thrum of the basalt processors turned to something both terrifying and joyous. If she had a physical body, she would exult, throw her arms in the air and fall to her knees and weep with ecstasy and madness all at once. She would claw at her arms and rend her eyes from her head because the ultra-black was right there, not separated by the distance of the ship's duraglass portholes and thick hull, but right there in front of her, surrounding her, everywhere and nowhere, because what in this place had a physical form other than she was not alone?
You are, of course, already in the process of convincing yourself that this is a dream.
It was, of course, a dream. No place like this truly existed. The Ultra Black was simply a product of the way that the hyperlight drives worked. A lack of the ability of the senses to perceive reality, a common enough problem. That her sleeping mind had conjured up this place, so terrifying in its unreality, was no big surprise. Pushing herself too hard now.
Quite the contrary. I do not believe you've pushed yourself nearly hard enough. There's still so much work to be done.
She wanted to look around. Even to look down at her own form, but there was nothing, a strange sense of weight. But no indicator of form or mass or presence. It felt like being locked in place, unable to even tell if her eyes were open, unable to even tell if she had eyes.
Your worry is misplaced, see?
She had a physical form once more. Looking down, she could see herself, see her body clad in shimmering robes that blended between white and gold in a way that made it hard to pin down exactly what their true color was. Those robes terrified her more than anything she had ever seen before.
I would tell you, be not afraid. But I think you're part of the wrong world for that to mean anything deeper.
A strange sense of calm.
You see, it's not so bad. A sense of destiny and purpose, maybe.
But it was a lie. She didn't feel a sense of purpose, quite the opposite. She felt her muscles relax as she took her first step into the ultra black, It was hard to tell if she was walking or floating now. Everything felt so distant.
Or maybe just a sense of inevitability. Death will lose its sting, and you will ascend beyond what bounds you.
It was right. She didn't really feel anything. It was like looking at herself from a million miles distant. She had forgotten what it was she was worried about in the first place. Here, down in this place, the hum comforted her in a distant, disconnected way. It felt like some memory from when she was a wriggler, a child, an infant, a grub. Concepts that meant nothing to her slipped by her mind, passing like water down a stream, flowing ever so steadily into the ultra black. From here she could go anywhere, go nowhere.
This is your future. That cannot be changed.
The thing watching over her was gone. Flitted away to attend to some other matter. So it wasn't omniscient, at least, but powerful, so powerful. More than she was. More than she could ever hope to be. This place had rules, perhaps. She wasn't sure if she had ever cared about that. She wanted to see one of the others. Without having to think about it, she saw him in the distance, shining like a single point of light against the forever black of this place, a single pinprick, distant by hundreds of light sweeps. Distant by only a single thought, she thought. And there he was, standing in front of her. Cancri Vantus stared at her, disbelieving. She saw something on his face that looked like fear. Even if that emotion meant nothing to her anymore, she could recognize the shape of it. She smiled at him. She thought she smiled at him, and the words were there in the space between them as if they had always been there. Icing says you should be afraid. The hum was louder than she remembered. So loud that it woke Irania up, she sat up. First confused by the sudden disconcerting jumble of images around her, and then that resolved itself to a clear, singular stream of conscious thought. And she realized that what she was hearing wasn't just the machine hum of the ancient computer, but the sound of heavy equipment being moved in through the access tunnel that had been drilled 2 days prior. Slipping out of her sleeping sack, Irania smoothed out her uniform and tried her best to brush her hair out with her hands.
Major Circuit!
A familiar voice was calling out to her. Sounded like Charon was leading this particular detail personally.
Looks like a beautiful night to do some digging.
She finished adjusting her hair and stepped forward. They were piloting one of the heavy exosuits that the colony had provided to help extract the basalt computer from where it sat.
Charon, you're very punctual today.
A flash of anger. Was she feeling angry that they'd come in and woken her up? She had plenty to do, but what if she had simply stayed asleep?
Well, y'all seemed mighty eager to get going before, so figured you'd want to get everything loaded up and packed up real good.
With that comment, they flexed the extensor claw of the exosuit and grinned.
So yeah, no time like night time, as they say.
She wasn't sure what backwater place that particular expression came from, but it didn't matter. They were right enough, the Empress had spoken, and she had no choice but to obey. They would pack the computer up today, and it would be done efficiently and with an absolute minimum of damage to the components that she'd spent the last 3 weeks studying. Irania walked over to where Lieutenant Scalby was still sleeping and gave the sleeping sack a short tap with her boot. From inside, the jade blood stirred, rolled over, and poked her face out, blinking heavily.
Lieutenant, our assistance have arrived.
That sent the jade scrambling. She sat up, still encased by the sleeping sack, and quickly shrugged out of it, reaching over for her glasses and trying to adjust her uniform at the same time.
Major, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have slept in.
Irania smiled. She couldn't help but like this jade blood. obviously organized, obviously passionate about what they were doing here.
It's fine, Lieutenant. Administrator Krozhib has made an early start.
She glared at the olive blood, but they didn't seem to notice.
We'll have the whole crew ready to help shortly.
In the end, the extraction process went surprisingly smoothly. The self-contained power device could be disconnected from the cubes themselves, and everything was boxed up in massive shipping containers and then hauled out to a ground transport that would take them back to the waiting ship. Everything had been prearranged, and a good portion of the colony's workforce had been pulled from other assignments in order to help with the process. Arania had been able to ascertain that the cubes themselves slotted into some kind of interface in the ground. It appeared to connect to some kind of control console, which they had managed to disassemble and pack up separately. It was remarkable. The materials of these components had scarcely degraded with time. The rest of the planet, the ruins that dotted the surface, were utterly decrepit after so long. But these basalt cubes and their associated components had managed to not only survive, but retain some spark of life in them for thousands upon thousands of sweeps after. This was the kind of discovery that made careers, that would give her work speaking at conferences for the rest of her natural life. She would never have to worry about taking an assignment that was anything less than everything she—
Major Circuit, you should come see this.
It was Lieutenant Scalby's voice, calling from across the chamber. She was standing there waving next to one of the exosuits. The exosuit was holding one of the last cubes, moving it aside carefully. As she walked closer, Arania saw what had caused the lieutenant to call her over. Underneath that last cube, there was a hole leading down into the ground, so deep that it simply looked...
Ultra black, I believe you called it.
She felt the breath catch in her chest, felt her head starting to race as she stared down at the hole in the ground. When Charon spoke nearby, their voice sounded far away.
That's something, huh?
She glared over at them and snapped,
What is it?
The olive blood recoiled. Lieutenant Scalby recoiled. Quickly, Arania plastered a smile on her face.
I'm sorry. Just tired after a long night working. What is this?
Don't rightly know,
Charon said. Their voice full of some combination of wonder and confusion.
We could try to send down a probe, I guess. We got some for mining.
But she didn't want to send down a probe, didn't like the idea of what they might find down here. Or even more unsettling, that they would find nothing at all. That the probe would keep falling and falling beyond any natural explanation, because this hole existed outside of natural explanations. Arania felt herself shiver.
Corzon off the edge and keep working on getting these things packed. We're almost done. And I want to be back on our way to Imperial's base by dawn.
Charon shook their head and clicked their tongue. Arania had to bite back, snapping at them again.
Y'all ain't gonna run off that quick. Come back to the main settlement hall and we'll show you a proper colony send-off.
I can think of nothing I want less than that. Nothing in the world.
I'm sorry, but we have orders to return with all haste. This find is... It requires specialized equipment to evaluate properly, and every minute we spend out here is unfortunately lost to us.
Charon looked a bit hurt by the comment, but they didn't say anything. Arania was glad that they didn't say anything. Another hour, and the last of the cubes were finally loaded up onto the transport back. The exosuits were loaded into their own transport vehicle, and the crew finished tearing down the site and making preparations to leave. Inside of 2 hours, everything was ready to be sealed back up. The dig site felt so empty with the ancient computers gone and their lovely, comforting hum no longer filling the space. It felt like they'd committed some horrible act. A necessary act, of course, but still something that verged on sacrilege. Once the crew had departed and their transports were on the way, that left only Arania, Lenara, and Charon standing there in the vast, artificial cavern that had been Arania's home for the past few weeks. The prospect of leaving this place felt strange to her. Lieutenant Skelby, can you go prep our crawler for departure? We'll be going straight back to the Berthus. I'll be out momentarily.
Lenara nodded at her and threw a quick salute.
Of course, Major.
She was gone, back out the entrance tunnel to where the crawlers were waiting. It was just Arania and Charon now, standing alone in the cavern. And at the far end, the gaping maw in the ground that they had opened up. Arania walked slowly across the floor, carefully stepping around the gaps left by the removal of the basalt cubes.
"What do you think it's for?"
Charon asked, walking up behind Arania. She felt another flash of annoyance, but once more bit back the bile she felt in her chest.
"I mean, all of it."
"I have no idea, as Administrator Krojib,"
resorting back to the formal, letting them know that their relationship had shifted back to one of distance.
"Oh, y'all can really just call me Charon, Major. One scientist to another."
Arania felt something hot burn inside her, felt it pass away.
"Of course, Charon. As to your question, I have no idea. We lack the ability to plumb those depths at this time. But we will certainly make a sincere attempt when we return to before us."
"Speaking of depths, what about that hole there?"
Charon whistled under their breath.
"Mighty long way down, I'd reckon."
"Indeed."
She peered over the side, peered into the darkness.
"I can't even begin to answer that question."
"You don't want to answer that question." She sighed and leaned a little bit further forward. Was it possible? Did she see some glimmer of light down at the bottom of it all? A singular point, 500 light sweeps down in the ultra-black.
"This is your future. That cannot be changed."
She looked down at her hand.
"No."
"Major? What did you say?"
Charon's voice had a distant, far-off quality to it, disconnected. She felt the sensation of someone brushing against her arm and looked to see Charon's hand. Before she could stop herself, Arania had grabbed Charon's hand and pulled it forward, sweeping their legs out from under them and sending them crashing to the ground. They came down in a rough tumble, crashing to the hard floor as Arania drove a knee into their back.
"Don't fucking touch me!"
She felt the tendrils of something reaching out to touch her, a creeping sense of inevitability.
"Don't ever touch me!"
She would drive their face into the ground, shatter the orbital bone where it was weak, bash their face again and again until their teeth cracked and the soft, wet globes of their eyeballs split and...
Her eyes grew wide. And she let up the pressure on Charon's back, standing up and brushing off her front. From the ground, she heard them muttering some kind of apology, some worthless nonsense.
"I think that you just stay behind and make sure the site has been properly secured. We wouldn't want there to be any incidents with this pit here."
"There was something down there. I saw it."
From where they were lying on the ground, Charon nodded weakly. Arania stepped into the cab of the crawler that she and Lenara were planning to take back to the landing pad. In the distance, this planet's sun was beginning to rise, the end of another night. They would be back in the Paratus before the sun hit its midpoint. And then they would be back on their way to Imperial space, back to Bephorus. Once she was back on the ship, she could lie down and get some sleep. It would be a while before they were back. Time enough for her to prepare her reports back to the Ministry of Science, time to consider her next course of action. The headache was back, starting to beat behind her eye, getting ready to spread to her head. She groaned and put her head down, pressing into that spot by the bridge of her nose.
"Major?"
Lenara's voice was too far away.
"Is Administrator Krajib going to be joining us?"
She almost laughed at that. No, they're going to secure the site and take one of the spare crawlers back. Or they could stay at the site forever. Or throw themselves right into the pit and never be heard from again. Arania didn't care.
We should go back to the ship. You already sent words to the crew.
Lanera nodded.
Yes, ma'am. Everything is being prepped for launch. By the time we get back, they should be ready to launch.
That was good. Arania had enjoyed her time spent among the humming machines, but now... the place just felt like another tomb from a dead world. Her computers were on their way to a new home. To a place where they could be properly tested and evaluated. Where their true function could, with the proper application of scientific reasoning and some luck, be determined. That would be its own process. Fraught with its own unique challenges, but Arania had always welcomed a challenge.
Go ahead, Lieutenant. Take us back.
She nodded to Lanera, who shifted the crawler into gear and began to steer it to the marked path that would return them to the launch pad. Arania put her head down against the window and stared out at the oncoming dawn. She didn't dare close her eyes again.
For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Janaya Riley. The music is Cycles, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can also find other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.